I want to begin by saying Happy Mother's Day to all the moms who are here this morning. That's not what I'm going to be preaching on, but I do want to start with that. We are all grateful for our moms, and I just want to bless you in all you do in your role of motherhood. May God bless you in that role. With this being Communion Sunday, I want to look at the topic of the Lord's Supper. You know, we have communion twice a year here at Shalom. And sometimes when we do something over and over, year after year, it's easy to do it out of habit and not think about or even forget the true meaning of what we are actually doing. I don't think I have anything new to share with you this morning, but hopefully it will be a reminder as to what communion is and how it can benefit us. I want to look at the verses in Matthew 26, where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, we're going to start reading at verse 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I would like to look at four themes this morning on the Lord's Supper. There could be more, but there's four in particular I want to look at that hopefully will help us to celebrate communion in a meaningful way, and that we could see the grace of God demonstrated in Christ and his work for us. The four themes are remembrance, thanksgiving, proclamation, and expectation. Let's start with the first one, remembrance. The theme of remembrance is probably one of the most familiar yet powerful parts of the Lord's Supper. You know, one would hardly think that those who have been redeemed would need to be reminded of God's grace shown through Jesus and his work. But we do. We forget. Or maybe we just get lazy and don't think about it. I'm not sure. But reminders are important and are good for us. God never forgets. Some verses in Psalms 111 that says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He remembers his covenant forever." What is this covenant that God has made? Jeremiah 31 says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." This new covenant happened when Jesus died and rose again. This ushered in a new era. We no longer need to offer sacrifices for our sins. You didn't need to come this morning with your lamb or turtle doves to offer a sacrifice to God. Jesus was that sacrifice. He paid that price once and for all when he died. Part of remembrance is thinking about Jesus' death and his suffering. I also want to read some verses of the final events of Jesus' life leading up to Calvary. They also are from Matthew 26 and 27. I'm going to be just reading verses here and there, jumping around a lot, so I'm not sure you'll be able to follow. in your Bibles. I'm going to start at Matthew 26, verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?" Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Some reflection on the suffering and agony that Jesus went through for us. It's good for us to reflect and remember. This wasn't just the physical pain that Jesus went through. It also was the emotional. The forsaking of everyone else. The disciples even fled and forsook him. He was bearing the weight of the sins of the world on his shoulders. This is the sacrifice we are to remember. Remembrance is visible in the bread and in the cup. It's something we can see and feel. And as we partake of it, let's remember the sacrifice of love that Jesus made. Remembrance also strengthens us. Our faith is strengthened and built up through eating and drinking and remembering. While remembrance is historical, as we think of the past and what happened, it's also personal. And I was blessed by this thought as I was studying. You know, Jesus did not say, "Do this in remembrance of my death." He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Our relationship with Christ is a personal one, and it needs to be one that we have today, not just something we remember about the past. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." He said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We remember what he did, but we also remember what he is to us today. He is the one who gives us rest. We can also enjoy fellowship with God through the perfection of Jesus Christ. You know, as we abide in him and he in us, we thrive and are fruitful. Next, we want to look at the theme of thanksgiving. Jesus gave thanks when he took the bread and the cup. What was he thankful for? That there was something tangible the disciples and the future followers could remember him by? Was he thankful that God had provided a way of salvation, even though he was dreading the cross experience? Or was he thankful that his Father God was still with him and would go with him to the cross? Not exactly sure what Jesus was expressing thanks for, but I think a significant part of our thanks are based upon the completed work of Jesus Christ for us. We have been made whole, and therefore we are grateful. The Lord's Supper speaks of the goodness of salvation, the forgiveness of sin. I think as a people of God, we should be known as grateful people. We should be grateful people. I know it's hard to be thankful 100% of the time, but even during difficult seasons, if we look for it, there will be something we can be grateful for. God is good, and because of him, we give thanks. The third theme is proclamation. This includes heralding Christ's atoning sacrifice and its benefits for us. The good news of eternal life. We preach a sermon without words when we eat and drink at the Lord's table, proclaiming that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the one who gives us life, the one who sustains us, and he satisfies our spiritual need now and will forever. Jesus was not just telling us to remember his death, but also to remember him as our bread of life. He is the one who provides us everlasting life. John 6, Jesus declares himself to be the bread of life. Some verses there, "My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger." Here Jesus proclaims that he is life. He is to be believed and embraced by us all. If Jesus is our life, we will proclaim this to others. We will proclaim the good news of salvation to those around us, whether it's our coworkers, our neighbors, or our children. Psalm 22, verses 30 and 31, talk about telling this to our children. It says, "Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it." As we proclaim the name of the Lord, it is a call to worship. "Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God." The last theme is expectation. 1 Corinthians 11:26 where Paul talks about communion. Paul writes there, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. There's always a note of hope or expectation in celebrating the Lord's Supper. Jesus refers to the fact that he will not drink the fruit of the vine until he drinks it anew in his Father's kingdom. He is referring to what is about to happen, which was his crucifixion and death, but his words also point to the hope of the kingdom of God. The great feast in the presence of God and all his people. The Lord's Supper, as we will be experiencing it today, is only temporary, in that we will share it only until he comes again. And then we can look forward to sharing it in glory, I believe, with Jesus. Someday the struggles of this life will be over. You know, the hard things that we deal with today, sin with the corruption and bondage it brings, will be dealt with, and all things will be made new. I want to read some of those verses in Revelation 21. The future glory. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" All things will be made new. The glory of being in the presence of God himself and in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of loved ones who have gone before. You know, some of you have lost loved ones very recently. And this is something to look forward to, meeting friends and family someday in that new world. This, I believe, is the ultimate. The expectation of all made new. Being in the presence of Jesus forever. You know, experiencing complete peace and happiness. We are thankful for Jesus' work, for his shed blood, and it makes us think ahead in expectation to the future and this world. I want us to think about that part of it as well as we partake of the emblems this morning. You know, Jesus' broken body makes it possible for us to live in expectation of this being a reality someday. In reflection, yet, here at the end of these four themes, I want us, first of all, to remember what Christ endured so we can have salvation. To be thankful that Jesus went through with this plan. To proclaim or herald Christ's atoning sacrifice to others. And live in expectation, looking forward with hope to when Jesus comes again. You know, it's a time of sober reflection, and yet also a time of joyous hope. And I trust you can experience both of those this morning as we partake of the emblems. In closing yet, I'd like to read a benediction prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, may this day serve to equip us as your servants in the power of the Holy Spirit for the establishing and increasing of our faith and for hope of life in the age to come through our Lord Jesus Christ. To you, O Father, with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit, be glory forever. Amen.